I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Pat.
Shoot.
Here.
Grunde.
Here.
McNaught.
Here.
Moblo.
Here.
Needhammer.
Here.
Newton.
Here.
Place.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Awesome. Move on to consent agenda. Approval of minutes from December 16, 2019. Planning Commission meeting.
Move approval.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
I have it written. I have a motion. I'll second. A motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right.
Nay.
Nay?
Mr. Chairman, may I have the floor?
Absolutely.
Okay. In regards to our last minutes, so the statement in the good of the order, bullet point number 3, is likewise in parallel to my reasoning of voting against the minutes on Monday, October 21st. On the date of the following meeting, November 18th. The following reasons why I believe that it's important to note this distinction on the summary within the minutes and for the good of the order. I believe it's not just splitting hairs on this, but I wanted to illustrate the following. With the statement that short-term rentals are taking up a lot of the usable housing options, it's not a statement founded in fact. And as mentioned last fall by Mr. McPherson here, he stated the duties outlined for the short-term vacation rentals are to find their impact on the community. The conclusion of such has not been yet reached. So to have a statement such as this in our minutes, I believe it gives a different idea as to the summary of the conversation that anybody other than us may have in reading those minutes.
Right.
And that could be also in the future outside of the Planning Commission. So, as stated the last time I had objected to the passing the minutes as written, I was told the good of the order is a summary of the conversation during that time. So my concern was twofold, and that's, one, the statement was not the summary of the conversation to the good of the order. In fact, it was only a statement made by one of the members of the Planning Commission. Secondly, I think this could open the city to liability as we in the future may regulate rentals, and which may also become a heated topic for stakeholders. So with that, I believe our minutes should reflect accurately who's making those statements, or the summary outlined being as a discussion just to that first sentence that we were looking to expound on the bed and breakfast bylaws that were already there. So I think that that could be a good place, and I think that's imperative for risk management to have that stricken from the minutes. So with that, I would like to, from that conclusion, make a motion to amend the December 16 minutes on the good of the order, bullet point number 3, by way of removing the second sentence.
Okay. We've already...
You already adopted the minutes.
We've already adopted the minutes. I apologize. No, that's a very good point.
But I guess when the motion comes up to approve the minutes, if you have a correction to what was said, there's a distinction of what you may believe is accurate and what was accurately represented in the minutes.
Sure.
So the minutes are a representation of what was said. Whether or not you may believe what that person said is accurate or not is not relative. It's past job to make sure what was said is captured accurately. If you had a rebuttal,
right,
or something like that, you could put that as a statement as part of the good of the order, as part of the discussion, and that would be represented too. But to go back and retroactively insert a statement is not the way you could correct that.
The motion I made within the appropriate time would not be to add on or amend, but rather strike out that. Additionally, I tried doing that last month as well, Scott, but my kind of rebuttal to that was not outlined.
For the same reason.
Okay.
It was the minutes accurately represented what was said, and they were approved accordingly.
Would it, I would entertain a friendly amendment to say one person's opinion is, etc.
No, you're
one
trying
mention.
To insert something that wasn't said in the minutes.
Yeah.
So if you want to say something in the good of the order saying, from the meeting previously. This was said about this. I have a different opinion. And then the minutes would reflect your point of view.
Isn't that the consent agenda? That's the time to address?
No, the consent agenda is the time to adopt without discussion all the items on the consent agenda. Okay. And that was done. So that's kind of
past. But when we get to good of the order tonight, if you would like to make the...
Yeah, if you wanted to make a statement about your point of view, then please do.
Okay.
Then that would be on.
Do I have to reiterate all the other
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
That's right. You were 60 seconds too late.
No, you eloquently said, though.
Thank you, Rich. Four, hearing citizens present on non-agenda items. All right. Reports of officers, boards, and standing committees.
The marijuana working group will be having a meeting next Monday. 27th, right? Yeah, I think that came up on my calendar. So
yeah, next week, Monday, 27th.
At 5:30 to look at the next steps for this process.
Okay.
And that's going to be how to get public engagement and that kind of effort. So
all right,
I'll keep you updated there.
There's no unfinished business. Let's move on to new business. Great Lakes Energy Preliminary Development Plan Review.
We received a request from Great Lakes Energy that they would like to have a preliminary review in front of the Planning Commission for their proposed expansion of their facility. They did go to the EDC LDFA last week and presented, and I believe it also had some publications done in the paper. Steve and Nick are here to go over their plans and what they're going to do.
All right. Thank you. Glad to be here. My name is Steve Drake. I am the CFO of Great Lakes Energy, and I've got with me Nick Liebler. Nick is with White & Liebler, a Petoskey architecture firm. I'll turn it over to Nick after I just go through some of what's precipitated all of our plans here. Nick will go through some of the particulars and go through some of the revenues a little bit. So, first of all, just kind of an update of what's going on with Great Lakes Energy. We merged several co-ops years ago, and that time a decision was made to have the headquarters for all of Great Lakes Energy, which I'm not sure how much people understand or the extent of our territory. We basically go from Mackinac Bridge all the way down to near Kalamazoo with some spots in between. There has been pressure over the years that I should move down to the central part of the state and the headquarters should be there, so it's central, blah, blah, blah. So, nothing went on for a long time. There was a recession, not a lot of growth. A couple of years ago, we want to talk about the need for broadband in the rural communities, and the large operators were not going to make it happen. They've had their chances and haven't done that. So we looked at that opportunity and talked to our board in November of 2017. Our board approved us to go ahead in the Petoskey service area on a pilot program just to see how well it might go. Glad to report that it's going very well. We're getting ready to finish out the construction, which is pretty aggressive. We tell people how many miles of fiber we put in a period of time we have. People don't believe us. But it's the only way we can get things done and get it through our whole territory. So that right away, when that decision was made, we started looking at, okay, what's that mean facility-wise? Because we were already tight on space. And people-wise, we realized we're going to get a space really soon here, the present facility. So we looked at several things. One is, do we stay here at the site and expand? That meant, of course, needing to acquire some property around us if we could. Or do we look at relocating somewhere else? And we really preferred to stay where we were. So we started looking around. We had to hire a couple of employees right away. All of a sudden we found ourselves jamming people into spaces and that kind of stuff. So we looked at what properties were around and figured where we purchased that office warehouse to the north of us became available almost the time we said we needed it. Just approached me and said, that's funny because we're looking at trying to meet up at this place. So we purchased that property, which is about 6,000 square feet, I think it's 1,000 square feet of office and 5,000 square feet of warehouse space. Remodeled that, turned that into our TruStream operations center. And so we were able to get some people over there and relieve some stress. But then came 2019, and we looked at how many people we're going to need to really get going, and we hired 19 people in 2019, and literally had to move our linemen out into a couple trailers, remodeled their area down in the lower section, and create 24 cubicles for people to start filling in. And then we looked at, of course, our budget for this year, for 2020, and we're going to be hiring another 15 people or so. So we've got temporary space to make that work, but then we started working on this whole thing quite some time ago, and when we decided to stay there, I said, okay, yeah, that property will help us. We acquired the two parcels next to us. We have everything to the north and between us and the airport, but that wasn't going to be enough, obviously, so we eventually came when Carter's, last year we kept watching what was going on with that, and they put it up for rent initially. We heard that the Spartan had not renewed that lease. We figured, let's just wait a little bit, and then we'll see what happens. So last early summer, we pursued that and came to a quick deal with them and purchased that property. And of course, if you've been out there, you've seen that. So we looked at the building initially to see if it was at all usable for us, because it would be something, yeah, it's got structure. Maybe we could quickly move some people, move our truck operations, those kind of things over there, but the floor wasn't thick enough, and there was just too many things. Nick and his team looked at the building and said, in fact, they did a plan for that years ago for Family Fun Center, and in the end, of course, it didn't happen. So we said, well, the best thing is to raise it and give us what we need space-wise. So, plus, when we looked at things like putting our truck bay, the trucks and all that over there, would have meant a lot of garage doors facing the road, and we didn't want that. I think the community probably would like that so much as an entryway into the city, have a bunch of garage doors there. So we've gone through lots of planning and meetings and put Nick through a lot of aggravation and changes. But in the end, we think what we've come up with is a very viable plan that leaves us plenty of room for growth in the future. We think we're able to build our whole North territories out of this facility, which includes, I don't know, Petoskey, but recently, I don't know if you all saw, our board in November of 18 approved the Boeing service area to build out for
Out towards Galen, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's a big deal. We can service that out of here as well as eventually our waters in Kalkaska. So we'll have a lot of activity going on over the next several years that we can move for. You know, we really want to plan this so it's a good thing for the community, but also something that gives us plenty of room to grow what we need to down the road, and it really was the best option for us. So yeah, good news on the Boeing build. We're going to start that our construction in the spring. We're doing the sections. So Boeing 1 is going to kind of be the north area, kind of by Walman Lake, and then around to the north up to by Horton Bay, and then Springwater Beach, those areas there. And then we'll go off to the west of the peninsula, Advance, and all the way over by Forge Lake, and then to the east over towards Galen is all part of the Boeing service area. So we'll cover down by Deer Lake and all that towards East Jordan. So we'll get some good coverage. But there'll be a lot of activity. You'll see more activity probably with this build, obviously, than what we've had with Petoskey, because everything was heading north. So that's our plan. That's why we've gone through the process we have and why we've acquired the different properties. And at this point, I'll turn it over to Nick, and he's going to go through some of those more specifics on the plan. Thank you.
Yeah, Steve said, my name is Nick Liebler, architect in Petoskey, and as Steve alluded to, we're in Petoskey, so we see the Great Lakes trucks that are on the side of every road every day right there. So the activity that's happening as part of this fiber optic build is greatly benefiting the people up in the Petoskey area right now. Great Lakes came to us as a way to try to look to expand the facilities. Obviously, with the expansion of the fiber optic program, there's a lot more employees. As Steve mentioned, they've hired several over the past few years and are hiring even more. They've completely burst at the seams for their existing office building. We've got a couple of temporary office trailers on site right now, but another big portion of that, kind of where we started, was trying to look at a way to protect the trucks. As we look outside right now, we know what Northern Michigan looks like. These guys have their line in the trucks right now, just parked out in the snow every day. So a big portion of that, what we started with, was a truck facility to try to house all the lines in the trucks, trailer trucks, so that these things could be protected from the weather. That was kind of where we started on the Carter's property, trying to see if we could reuse the building. Obviously, in the interest of sustainability, we try to reuse facilities anytime we can. It just, the location on the site where it's at and the structural requirements of it didn't let us to do that. So that was when we started looking at different options of where to locate the truck facility. If you look at the site plans, that was part of your packet. Building C on the north end of the property, that is all the covered parking for all the truck storage. And as you can tell just by the size of the footprint that's right there now, the existing building A and building B are what exist today on site. So just from a footprint standpoint, you can see how much we're increasing that. We looked at putting it over on the west side of the property in the old Carter's area. You know, we felt, and I think the Great Lakes felt as well, it'd be best to put some of those activities up on the north side where they're a little bit more screened from the public. You're not staring at a building that has, you know, 10 garage doors lined up and all the lines are put in store out in the front yard. So trying to be sensitive to the public and push that stuff a little bit more where it's hidden from view. Once the Carter's facility came down, all of a sudden we realized how exposed the pellet plant is to the island when I saw that is. So then we kind of shifted our planning to take, let's label building D on the plan on the west side as an expansion of the office facilities. So that's more corporate office space, new state-of-the-art dispatch center, which they outgrow, and then just governmental regulations require that they update their dispatch area. So most of that's what happens in the building D on the west side. And we ended up trying to push it and make it kind of long and skinny to block as much of that view of the eyesore that's behind it. And then to the west of that, you know, would be some landscape plantings and some tall trees to try to screen some of what's happening. Obviously, we can't build as far as the sideline on the side there. But, kind of in the middle, what is building C becomes, well, what that it was, a few truck spaces and some office spaces, a parts warehouse. That really becomes room for the linemen. So they've got parking just to the east of that and that little enclosed parking lot. So that's, again, all the linemen's trucks. They can come in. They've got locker facilities. They kind of got their own section of the building and they can have their trucks and head out. What is labeled building E on your plan, the little wing that sticks off on the west side. That's planned for the future. We're probably a few years out from doing that phase of the project, but that's more dedicated to kind of a community meeting space. Right now, the Great Lakes has two big conference center rooms upstairs in their facility that they open up to the public and board meetings and training rooms. The idea is that those really aren't a secure facility. You have to enter in through the corporate building at that point, so you get people in their office space on a weekend past the secure doors. And so this really becomes kind of a community wing. Those can be boardrooms that can be used community groups if they need to, meetings that come out, people can come in on weekends and have a secure facility for them. All the parking that happens on the east side of the property becomes customer parking at that point with those two little parking areas over Scott's Mouse right now. You've got an opportunity for there's just a drop section for a bill payment. Part of what they have right now is customers come up and they can pay their bill. There's just a lockbox out in the middle of the parking lot. So not the greatest idea from a customer service standpoint, but there's just secure post for the bill. So that gives them a drop through. Part of what we've dealt with from a site planning issue, right now, Great Lakes Energy is addressed off of the highway. So customers pull up to the building and they've got a big sign right where the employees go in and park. And then the customers get there and there's no way to get into the building. They can't figure out how to get around the front door because it's kind of hidden off of Air Industrial Park. So the small road that you see at the bottom of the site plan kind of parallels the highway there, that will be a new customer entrance so that even if people pull in the wrong way, they've got some, you know, some highly visible signage, and then we can dedicate those people around over to the east side of the building where the main entrance is. So that would be.
Excuse me just a moment. Would you mind closing the door?
Okay. Nice.
Exercise class going on.
Is that exercise class?
Yeah, a boot camp.
Like judo.
right.
Or I'm sorry.
That's a good idea. All right, so really tonight we wanted to just kind of present informally to you. There will be a formal submittal coming. We've got a team of consultants that we're working with, civil engineers, landscape architects. So they're all working through kind of plans in the background of, you know, addressing stormwater retention and parking and landscaping and everything that comes along with that. So obviously this is just an architectural site plan, more from a schematic of where we're putting buildings and people and roads. It's going to become a lot more detailed by the next submission. So.
Did you look at where these drives are going to line up with what's across the street?
Those two drives are existing today where the curb cuts are. I believe the one on the west side, not the one that splits with the Sharon building, but that one is pretty close to the road across the street. There's a little subdivision that comes out there. So obviously we're going to have to kind of work through that with traffic loads.
Yeah. I know the one's offset slightly, and I think the one in the west.
A little bit off. And that, you know, we can look at moving that to get those, obviously an ideal situation, those are right across from each other to help the traffic safety. One thing we have done is right now, the two small drives on the south end of the property, the one on the east is what is currently being used for loading and service trucks. And so what we'd like to do is take all of those services and move them over to the road that splits with the Sharon building. And just for external loading, all of the Great Lakes trucks are going to be coming off Air Industrial Park, so they will all come in and circulate up through the top. Okay. So all of those trucks, when they leave in the morning, are pulling out at the light at the intersection, so they're not pulling out of all these kind of intermediate exit points from the street. So trying to control all that traffic.
They'll be pulling out of the Air Industrial Park?
Yeah, they'll be coming off Air Industrial Park. So
I know right now they come off up there and that.
Yeah,
that
so all of those would come. The idea is the truck facility building is kind of a one-way traffic, so trucks come in off Air Industrial Park, they can go to Wash Bay, it's there, drop the trailers, and they pull ahead into the west. When they leave, they circulate around in the morning and they get ready to leave. So there's plenty of room on Air Industrial Park for kind of stacking those trucks. Those guys all leave at the same time every morning and generally come back around the same time. So,
Mr. Chairman? Question for the...
Yeah, go ahead.
Is there consideration or idea for decel lanes or passing lanes on the opposite side for people turning into the facility? Are those generally provided?
It's an MDOT trunk line, so they're the permitting agency for the access on this road.
Okay.
So they would require whatever is necessary.
That would all be permitted through the state. We don't have control over turn lanes or access points. So, you know, right now we're working with the existing curb cuts that are today. Right. You know, but when, obviously, as the engineers get involved in certain traffic studies, we're going to figure out how many people come through this. Some of those may be relocated slightly or closed off. The large space that you see on the west side of the property, that's kind of the white rectangle of the left corner there, it says weather event overflow. That's for situations when extra lineman trucks or things come into the area. There's a big power outage. Sometimes they have to ramp up staff in the area. So that's really what that's for. It's not going to be, most of the time that will be green space, yeah. So some other features that we're doing on the site, there's going to be a pollinator garden that gets built in. Landscape architects are working on that, what that means. So trying to provide something a little bit more than just grass and pavement. So there's that. They've got an existing solar array that's on the property. We're providing some parking spaces for electric vehicles out in the parking spaces. Part of the planning that we're going through right now is looking at LEED accreditation on the building. Is what we're trying to figure out at the low level, and there's been some interest. Obviously, sustainability, kind of looking at indoor air environment and indoor work quality. There's some bike rack facilities we're looking at right now, so employees can ride their bikes to work if they want to.
So those e-car spaces got charging stations there?
There's charging stations.
Yeah, we're putting those at all our facilities all the way down through the state. We're always starting promoting these.
You guys have a Tesla and a Volt.
We've got three now. Okay. Yeah, we've got two Volts. We took one down to Nuevo. So we've got two Volts and a Tesla.
And there's actually inside of
truck parking facility that building C. There's a couple electric car parking spaces in there as well, so for their own vehicles. But these others will be open, you know, for public if they're there.
On the building B on the west side, you have future growth. I'm just curious what.
What would be the future growth of that?
It would be if, just as they come to date right now, you know, they continue to hire more employees and we get to expand, so that's the direction. We've kind of set it up modularly so that the building can grow that way.
Okay.
It's really just an extension of the building, should we need more square footage. As it stands right now, we're building for the current staff, so there is growth built in.
Where you guys are going?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look for the fact you've got the entire weather gone kind of over. That building could grow quite a lot.
And then you talked about screening. You're removing, like, relocating the sheds on the western front.
Correct. There's two existing lean-tos kind of right at that inside northwestern corner. The idea was to move those again just to help block some of the ice orbits that
pass. Put some green, you know, some.
Yeah.
That would be some
landscape area. We can only do so much, but we're going to do what we can.
Those are obviously just one-story lean-tos that they are right now, but they're metal-sided structures.
Sure, but the Carter's building wasn't all that tall either.
Right.
So,
This will help, and we're doing everything we can.
We'll draw our eyes away from that and some of the other stuff.
Yep. So kind of everything right now that you're seeing that looks like it's pavement on the north side of the building, that's all hashed out. We're still working through how much of that becomes hardscape. A lot of what happens in the northwest corner will probably be just crushed limestone. That's where some of their yard storage goes.
And the true student area, isn't that what you guys did in your yard there and all crushed limestone there?
Yeah, correct. Okay. Like I said, the civil engineers are working through stormwater management. You know, part of the Charlevoix County now requires that all stormwater be stored on site. Mm-hmm. So they're working through the engineering, what that looks like. In addition to some of the sustainable features. We're exploring geothermal wells on the property right now as well, so trying to provide some sustainable energy aspects to it. But that was really, just kind of wanted to put it up to all of you tonight so you had a first look at it before it comes through a formal review and see if there are any questions you had or any, sensitive issues that you might be considering.
Sure.
Do you
have any concerns or questions?
Out of curiosity, is your electric power, is this consumers or you guys? What service is this? We are, Carter's was served by consumers. We're in the request that we were able to serve our own.
but the industrial park is served by consumers?
Well, we serve the pellet plant. We serve Lexmar. We've got several.
I did not know that.
Yeah, we've got industrial commercial meters on those, so we do serve some of the properties there.
Cool.
I have a question. How will this or will it have any impact in regards to the alignment program at the high school? Will it be included in any of this at all?
No, we'll probably keep that out there at the Shawnee Yard, which is Wolverines, and they're actually getting ready to develop and do something over by Amara with a big, but they told us we'll keep that there, we'll keep the line and stuff program there because it's full again for this next year. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's been a good thing.
And one thing I do want to point out, and Scott, you and I talked about this, there's actually a sliver of property that goes, if you can see where it says existing transportation building, that small sliver right there, that actually falls under township zoning.
This is kind of a unique, there's an island of Evangeline Township right here. Patrick is going to talk to the planning commission at their next meeting, I believe it might be tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of go over what you're planning to do and request if we can just do this administratively since we provide the planning services for the township.
Okay.
And then you don't have to worry about going back to
another process with that.
And I anticipate this probably would be an annexation request.
Oh.
You probably want to incorporate it into the city.
Sure.
So that's a process that we can work on too. I remember that was proposed some years ago, but it was never completed. So we do have files on this, so I think it could go through very quickly.
And then the only other thing I really want to point out is because obviously building height becomes an issue, sensitivity when you start dealing with the frontage along major streets. So the building D on the west side of the property is going to match the existing height of the building that's currently out there, the two-story commercial structure. It'll look a lot the same on the outside. It's a brick facade with glass. It'll feel like an office building, not a warehouse. And again, that was kind of part of our reasoning of pushing things up to the north side of the building for the truck storage. That's going to have a much more industrial feel to it. It was more of a steel building. That building back is 25 feet high on the north side of building C. The small building E wing, I think right now we're at about 15, 16 feet for that. So that's just a one-story structure.
Sure. So D and E will match the facade that's on the existing A?
Fairly similar. You can kind of see in the rendering of the building that's there now. So what's labeled building D, it's a very similar look to it. A little bit more modernized than what
that was. A little more glazing.
Yep. And again, that kind of goes back to right now the indoor office environment. One of the big, not complaints, but one of the things we keep hearing from employees is there's not enough daylight that exists way over there. So a lot more glass on that. Part of what we're planning to counter, you can see right below the letter D on that, that's going to be a new employee entrance. Right now, those employees are parking in the old Carter's lot and walking through just the backside of the stair tower right now. So that really becomes kind of a dedicated employee entrance. And some outdoor closet space right there for the employees as well.
So building A is 2.5 stories, so one story kind of partial in ground?
Yeah, it's kind of dug in for a half a story. There's a kind of a mold around.
Yeah, a little ground depression. Where the windows are just about at
that ground
level. Yeah, you got about 2.5 stories.
That's before snowdrift? No.
But you do get light, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, so okay, now then, if you wanted to go three stories on D, so is there a height restriction that we have in the industrial park?
Yeah, there's height restriction.
35 feet to the building.
35 feet, correct. Yeah.
Okay, so stories to eliminate.
Floors.
Yeah, so right now, from the way you see it, right, what you'll see from the south end of the property, it'll look like a two-story building. Mm-hmm. So we're bringing everything up to that first floor ground level. On the back side, just the way the grade falls as we head towards the north, we'll kind of on that inside corner between E and D, there will be a few lower level windows as well. Same thing about half story on the ground.
Okay. Is that 35 feet too restrictive? You know, for this area, I think definitely for an industrial facility, yeah, 35 feet is about the maximum you want to see, maybe 40. But is this providing a hardship for someone who wants to do offices like this? Or?
We haven't received any variance requests in regards to that.
Okay.
So that would be an indicator that it was an issue. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's certainly enough for what we're trying to do with this project.
Another question?
Okay. Well, this is really exciting, guys.
Yeah.
We really appreciate it.
It's going to be a neat project and a good opportunity.
Thanks for keeping us going.
The presentation on M75 is very, very nice.
Yeah. Good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So as far as Smell goes, we're working with that with the engineers. There's a construction management company that's been hired by Clark Construction, which I've seen on some of the projects. They have their own internal schedule as far as timing goes. And a perfect flow will break down the spring on everything. Kind of everybody's got to get through all the drawing processes and bidding lines and stuff. So this should be happening pretty fast. So
okay.
Pending approval. So.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Move on to the staff report.
A couple things. The City Commission has adopted the recreation plan, the 5-year plan that is submitted to the state that makes us eligible for grants through the trust fund and other locations, so that's been completed. Still working on the avalanche and open space plans, and I believe next week there'll be a preview of some of the schematics for that, and then I imagine they'll bring that back to the public and city commission for possible adoption. We received the SAW data, which is the culmination of about a 770,000 dollar project that took 3 years and basically mapped, inventory, televised all our sanitary assets and storm assets that are over 20 years old. And then developed asset management plans for those systems and also provided us all the equipment and training and software to work with these systems in the future. So we will be getting our staff training in February on mapping this and using this and putting this into the guys' hands in the field so they can actually see what's there, find it, update it, and have a much better system of responding. So it's pretty exciting. I can show you one quick thing here.
Scott's going to have to brag a little bit. That was a, you said a 3-year plan, Scott?
Yeah, it was a 3-year project.
And it was 5 cents on the dollar is what the city spent.
10 cents.
Oh, 10 cents, okay. So it was 90% funded by the state. And it's been awesome.
That is great.
What's that through? I mean,
well, SAW grant, so SAW stands for sewer and water.
Gotcha. It was specifically for them. Okay.
Yeah, it had to be specifically for that.
Right. There was a fund that the state had of $400 million that was dedicated for this kind of development. And so they offered this to all the municipalities in the state, you know, to develop a program to take advantage of this. And we jumped on the board as soon as we could. And it was a random selection. So we submitted in 2013 and we didn't get selected in 2016. And then we were fully funded. So
this is kind of charting all the sewers.
So there, I get to look at these pipe videos. Well, there's a map associated throughout the city with all the assets labeled, identified. So if Mark, our DPW, or wastewater director says, hey, where's the pipe on South Lake Street? How's that looking? So we can bring it up, and here it is.
So is this in real time?
No, these were all videoed in. No, we didn't put cameras in all these. No, last year, the company probably saw them around, and they were taking these videos. All the sanitary and storm assets that were old, which is over 20 years old,
is it a specific size?
Right there.
Yeah, larger than 4 inches? Or?
No, everything that was over that age, they did, as long as it was accessible. Some of them couldn't get through. So if it's met that age, they tried to video it. So
it's actually in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
So probably some of it is.
So, so I have to learn all these little acronyms over here and understand what they're talking about. And with that, there's a capital plan for these assets. So as the city goes through its capital improvement planning, we can look at, because they identified, you know, potential deficiencies or things that need to be addressed or potential risk of failure. So like if this pipe fails, it's a big problem. If this one fails, it's not as big a problem. So, you know, that's where you look at fixing it first. So it's definitely going to be a great tool for us and the city to move forward in our capital planning.
You think the process of learning the program is going to be probably easy for you, but
for the guys on the line that go out there, it's probably going to be a learning curve for them. Mm-hmm. It's technology, and you got to move.
Someday, are doing a laptop?
No, iPads, basically. So all this mapping is going to be through online ESRI product. And so the guys in the field can bring that map into their iPad and locate it and go in the field, and they say, you know, I did a work order on this pipe, you know, and amend it and update it, and they have a, you know, an accurate map. So that may take some learning on their part. So it may be a point that they just tell me what they did and I can update all the systems. But, you know, as they learn, it does become more easy for them.
And it's different if you allocate one person with you to shadow you with it or something.
Very
cool.
Yeah, good job.
Nice.
That's really cool.
I don't envy that. What
are
you
going
to have to do?
And then tomorrow, the City Commission will be reviewing the International Property Maintenance Code, and we'll have our hearing officer, John Gilman, there to answer questions. That's at 5:30. It's kind of get them up to speed on what the Property Maintenance Code does and what's the advantages of adopting it, and get them comfortable with that. And also, there is going to be a dangerous building hearing at 4:30 for a structure on 806 Thompson. So if anybody's interested in how a dangerous building hearing is held, come on down and watch it. So that's going on at 4:30, and then we'll have the meeting at 5:30.
Will you consider amendments to the International Maintenance Code in the adoption process? Is that something we're going to go through, or, you know, adding some verbiage that we think, you know, like excessive, you know, lawnmowers or something like that, or other trash in the yard type of thing that's, you know, right now I think it primarily covered automobiles, but not necessarily other types of things that would be stored in the yard. Would there be any ability to add those things, or is it going to be just adopted?
I'd like to consult with council on the mechanics of adopting and amending that document, because once you start personalizing it to your community in that way,
right,
there may be problems, because those have updates every so many years. Instead of just adopting the update, you may have to do some other process that makes it more difficult.
Understood.
But maybe there's some other ordinances that can be adopted to meet those needs in addition to.
Yeah. I mean, abandoned, appliances as well as abandoned cars?
Well, you know, our zoning ordinance has a provision right now that's enforced that kind of takes care of a lot.
Oh, okay. All right.
And keep on telling people they what not put in their yard and start stepping those more toes than we want.
Yeah, I mean, it gets to the point, you know, some people's clutter is other people's junk, so there's a certain gray area sometimes. So.
I saw there was a larger outcry with the city of Charlevoix adopting that, I want to say, in the last few months. And I think there were some community members feeling as though it was infringing on their, you know, personal property rights. But
this is not the first time this city has looked at this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably the third that I recall. And there were similar concerns about overreach. And so not only the adoption of the ordinance, but also the administration and enforcement of it is going to be, you know, critical.
To add to your question, that Mary, with the automobiles versus washer and dryers, even in my line of work, you can legally remove trash of appliances or lawnmowers, but non-licensed, unmarked vehicles cannot legally be taken off in the transfer of real estate. So it's become cumbersome in properties I had from last year that had two vehicles without licenses and not with tags or ownership on them, and it became a legal issue to remove them.
Oh, really?
And I didn't know that until going through it myself.
So you're selling a piece of property.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to get the sheriff involved and they do a DVD. Yeah.
So there's
a job
that specifically with the automobiles in property regards.
Understood.
Versus the ones that you could throw in the dumpster.
All right.
That's all I have, that's all I have.
Good of the order. Rose, do you have?
Well, I jumped back into that. I guess I'm so good at the order. I might apologize for throwing that in at the wrong time. So
that's completely understandable. We're all getting through this.
And with that, I'm still trying to learn myself. And with it being the off season of real estate, having some reading time, I just wanted to add this to the good of the order too. It's Robert's Book of Rules, which is like a bible of how to run government standard, you know, nonprofit meetings, etc. Still trying to learn that so I can feel more confident in, like, you know, my volunteer service here. You know, being part of the Planning Commission. So if you guys need some reading this winter, I would recommend it. It's, you know, helpful in just starting it. But aside of that, so yeah, and these good of the orders, as I mentioned, you know, at length already, I feel like sometimes some of the statements that are left in there are not, you know, indicating necessarily the entire breadth of that conversation, and having statements like in our last minutes for saying something that, you know, short-term rentals are taking up a lot of the housing options. It, let's say in the future we do regulation on this, as I've already gone on about, I'm afraid of what that may look like to somebody in our minutes that wasn't there. Right. You know, we understand that that was in the context of a conversation, but I feel like that is a impending risk as it's written. And now having that twice in our minutes, I'm just nervous about what that can look like. With what you had mentioned, Scott, is, you know, I mean, at the last time, you know, Larry's quite passionate about this, and in bringing that up, you know, more personally here, I guess, how do I make sure, you know, from, like, what I had spoke on, kind of the opposite regard to that wasn't outlined in our good of the order. So how do we go forward on that?
Well, if there's something that wasn't noted in the minutes when the minutes are adopted, that's where you say,
okay,
I want to correct the minutes. I said X, Y, and Z. And then
say that,
that then incorporated into the minutes. But we can't correct statements that weren't made or imply things that weren't said.
I want to make sure I get this, too. Would this be at, like, at the time of the consent agenda?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So the consent agenda is basically, if anyone has an objection to that item, then it can be pulled off the consent agenda and a discussion topic. So when that comes up, you say, I would like to talk about this, and that motion's immediately respected, and then you can discuss, I had this correction, I did this, I said that, or whatever.
Okay.
And then that motion to correct the minutes can be made and then adopted. So
from item 3 on the consent agenda, I can just, you know, kind of shoot up a hand and say, hey, I want to discuss this further before.
Yeah, yes, yes. You said that I want to bring this off the consent agenda and have it as a discussion item.
Then it would become item 11?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, now I get
it. It would be.
Just move everything down.
It would be odd to. It would be a 7.
You could add whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly. But we would discuss it very quickly.
The next
item. Yep.
Thank you. I was trying to how to do things.
Okay. I mean, it is clear that it's my opinion. I'm expressing not the opinion of the Planning Commission as a whole. And obviously there needs to be more discussion within the Planning Commission. I welcome the discussion that Scott could bring insight as well. You know, actually deal with it as an initiative. What do we want to see for this city? How do we want to proceed on this? I'm sure there's going to be plenty of opinions, and, you know, hopefully there will be some nice compromise where we can accommodate short-term rentals in appropriate locations.
But as you mentioned before, Scott, like 2 months ago, when I really went, you know, into more description on my thoughts on that, I mean, we don't want to turn it into a discussion item when we're way before the, you know, findings of fact on that.
So, right.
I mean, how does that get remedied? I mean, certainly we have commissioners who are passionate.
Well, I plan on having a discussion with the city commission about their task of identifying the impacts of those, yeah, and then take direction from them on how they want to pursue it, whether they would refer this back to the Planning Commission for development of ordinance or whatever task that they may provide.
And until then, do we just hang out in the wings? Or
yes.
Okay.
And for the record, Larry addressed the city commission, speaking as a citizen, not as a planning commissioner, under good of the order at our last city commission.
Under public comment.
Public comment, not on the agenda.
And was there any discussion or?
No, as mayor, I referred it to staff. And then my job is to make sure staff answers one way or the other within a timely manner. I mean, it doesn't have to be within 2 weeks, but sometime, so.
Okay. All right. Any other good of the order?
I did mention, I'm sorry, about the training opportunities that were listed in there. Anyone, I know they're kind of daytime gigs and far away, so it might be tough. There were some of the webinars, which I didn't know if anybody would be interested in, but if anyone's interested in it, yeah, we do have a limited budget, but we may be able to, you know, provide some assistance for people to go to training if they want to go.
Do you know the time for the webinar? I can see that.
I will review that and get back to you.
Okay.
Are you familiar at all with these redevelopment ready communities best practices?
Yes, I went through that training twice.
Okay.
And you're more than welcome to go. They have had it here a couple of times. And any commission member is encouraged to go to those, but basically there's, I think, 6 different modules, and they run the gamut of all the variety of things that planning commissioners or cities go through, from, you know, to master planning, to ordinance administration, to capital improvement planning, you know, economic development. It's a wide variety of topics, so if you can find a way to get to those, I definitely recommend it.
For the record, we are certified, yes. Our state community, we were the 5th in the state to do so.
Okay, so you're saying this would be beneficial to us in amending and interpreting the ordinance, or?
Well, it gives you a good basis of understanding all the variety of items that planning commissioners are exposed to. So it's a good background of knowledge, I guess.
Question, do you have any updates on the locks on Lake?
Last I knew, they were still pursuing brownfield funding through the state. And I anticipate them moving forward in the spring with the demolishing those buildings and starting construction.
On this last one, the planning and zoning training workshops, these tend to be definitely remote and have a cost to them that you're not going to be necessarily driving down the morning back into the evening.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. That's why I worked with IRC to have that training in Petoskey that they had in Falls. They're usually have them in the fall or the spring is when they do a lot of their training, so as I become aware, I'll make people aware.
Can you do the citizen planner online, right? With the
right.
All
yeah.
The years of discussion.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's great. That's great. Okay.
I get that in the mail. Do you guys get that in the mail?
Michigan Planner Magazine?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So
no, I'm not.
Wait,
commenting on that.
Okay. There's a Michigan Planners magazine.
Yeah.
I thought we were all getting it.
I may have not got Larry's name on that list because they send it out once a year and I update it, and I think Larry got on the commission after that. So I have a lot of contact and put him on the list.
Yeah. I remember I was getting a call on it.
Okay.
I get the email too. I get the email
and I get the physical one. Yeah.
But yeah, Scott, if you can update that. Yeah, it sounds like a lot of people Are there a lot of interesting things in there?
Yes, well, last time I had the list, they put Cindy Grace as a member of the planning commission, and she hasn't been on the planning commission. How'd they get their name on that?
Congratulations,
Cindy.
All right, anything else? Any motion to adjourn? No, I...
I'll make a motion to adjourn. Motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
And I'll see you back here on February 17th.